Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series that tackles the top issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. I'm your host, Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, and we've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. Happy New Year! 2011 has finally arrived, which probably means you're thinking about a couple of things. One, you're thinking about exploiting all of the opportunities to come in the new year, and two, you might be thinking about settling your tax bill from last year. So what better time to talk tax planning with Chris Munn, a chartered accountant and senior tax manager at Hoogsheng Scheck Professional Corporation. Based in Toronto, Hoogsheng Scheck is an accounting firm focused on the needs of small and medium-sized businesses and their owners. Chris, welcome to the Business Coach Podcast.
Good afternoon, Ian.
It's commonly said that tax planning should happen all year round, but is there actually a better time to do tax planning, say as we approach the beginning of a calendar year or a company's fiscal year?
Tax planning should really happen throughout the year, but near the end of the fiscal year, and obviously at the beginning, it's a good time to kind of reflect on what's transpired and what the owner-manager thinks is going to happen in the future, and any tax planning can be adjusted at that time.
Well, the timing of our podcast is pretty good, I would say. Can you tell us about some of the new and noteworthy tax reduction opportunities available to small businesses and their owners in the 2010 tax year?
The federal budget of 2010 may consider new rules for loss transfers on a corporate group. Department of Finance also proposed a new taxable trust where contributions would be deductible to the employer, taxable to the trust, and any benefits payable out of the trust will be deductible to the trust. On a personal level, the RSP contributions, the limits increase. Taxable dividends, gross up of eligible dividends and related federal tax credit is going to be adjusted in 2010. Going forward, essentially the effective tax rate on those eligible dividends is increasing. From a corporate point of view, the tax rates are declining. For example, here in Ontario, on the first 500,000 corporate taxable income, the rates are going down.
Now, let's talk about some tax planning strategies that are underutilized by a lot of business owners or where there's a lot to gain from employing the practices. And let's start with income splitting. In what situations does that work and how does that work?
Income splitting in a corporate setting, if it's viable to essentially transfer ordinary income from an individual in the highest marginal tax bracket to someone in the lowest bracket, about 40,000, 41,000 right now. So if you transferred the income from the higher net worth person to someone in the low bracket of 40,000, you'd save about $10,000 to $12,000 a year. So you could pay family members. Now the caveat there is in a corporate setting, they need to be working in a company in some capacity. You could also look at setting up some type of personal trust to split income. There, you need to be careful of the kiddie tax or split tax income rules.
Let's talk a little bit about ownership structure in holding companies. How can holding companies provide a tax benefit or creditor protection?
By setting up a holding company, for example, if you've got a lot of cash or liquid assets in your operating company, you'd want to protect those assets. One way is by setting up a holding company and rolling those assets into that company, and thereby protects them from any creditors of your operating company.
Is there a tax benefit to that?
There could be down the road when you sell the company. One always has to be careful of whether the shares of your operating company qualify for the qualified small business capital gain deduction, the $750,000. Having too much in liquid assets could throw you offside and you may not qualify for that. So setting up a holding company or a proper structure can alleviate that.
Let's talk about scientific research and experimental development credits. I know that a lot of companies leave a lot of money on the table because they do not apply for these. What are they and who can they help?
They can help everyone, including individuals, although you don't see that very often, but they can help every company. And you're quite right. They're not widely used. The program has been around for many years. But if you're in the category of coming up with a new process or a new product, the government can certainly help out. Basically, you're allowed to claim any salaries directly associated with research and development, any costs of material, subcontractors, and salaries of specified employees, which are usually the owners and the related parties.
Now, one area of business ownership where a lot of entrepreneurs do themselves a disservice is in how they pay themselves. How should business owners go about determining what mix of salary versus dividends versus potentially any other forms of compensation they should be paying themselves?
Good question. Everyone should, at least from owner-manager, should pay themselves enough to maximize the RSP contribution. And if the corporate income is over the $500,000, which is a small small business rate. We've typically in the past bonus down to the $500,000, and the shareholders have paid themselves a bonus and paid personal tax on that. There may be a shift looking forward since the corporate tax rates are coming down. You may want to leave the money in the corporation and opposed to giving yourself a bonus, bonusing down to the $500,000 level, perhaps paying yourself a dividend.
What about individual pension plans or IPPs? How can they help from a tax planning perspective?
That's one area that is overlooked. Individual pension plan can be ideal for owner-manager situation, a very profitable company. Essentially what happens is you no longer have an RSP. You now have an individual pension plan. Contributions are made directly by the corporation and is deductible by the corporation. Traditionally, the amounts that can be contributed to the IPP are much higher than what you can contribute to your RSP. If you've been a relatively high income earner over the past several years, the corporation is also allowed a one-time deduction when you set up the plan, and that can be quite significant. Usually it's a benefit to higher income corporations and people probably about 45 years old.
And are they defined benefit or defined contribution?
They're defined contribution.
Chris, as we begin 2011, what tax planning opportunities should be on the radar of business owners in the new year?
Again, I'll come back to people should be cognizant of the salary versus dividends, some income splitting. Again, the corporate tax rates are coming down, so that has to play into your structure of how to reimburse yourself. One thing that people should be aware of, with the introduction of the harmonized sales tax in Ontario and BC, for businesses with sales of greater than $10 million, and you have to include your associated companies, so this can capture quite a few people, there are something called restricted input tax credits. So you're restricted on essentially four areas of claiming input tax credits, and those areas are meals and entertainment, automobiles, energy, and telecommunications. And from what I'm seeing and hearing is that people are not, A, are not aware of these rules and are not calculated on their GST or HST returns, or if they are aware, they're doing it incorrectly.
That's great to know, Chris. Thank you for joining the Business Coach podcast.
You're quite welcome.
Chris Munn is a chartered accountant and the senior tax manager at Ho Chain Sheck Professional Corporation in Toronto. That's it for another episode of the Business Coach Podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes, which you can download from bmo.com/coach, profitguide.com, and iTunes. For other tools to help you build your business, visit the Small Business Resources section on bmo.com. Until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.